On the line I have Robbie Sinnott. Robbie, who is coordinator of VVI, which is the Voice of Vision Impairment. Good morning, Robbie.
How are you going, John? How are you keeping? I remember that song well. It was number one after Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas?
Was it?
Back in 1985, very long time ago. Yeah.
Very good. I remember it as well.
Old.
But the listeners are probably saying, oh, that man sounds very familiar. You were with us a couple of weeks ago, but that was your position with the PPN. Now, this week you're wearing a different hat. It's the Voice of Vision Impairment. Will you just explain to the listeners what that is?
Well, I suppose we'd have to go back sort of a bit. Voice of Vision Impairment is a disabled persons organisation, and we campaign for the rights of people obviously with a vision impairment. It's free to join. Anybody can join. There's no obligations, only loads of benefits. And basically, we tap into our members, and basically our members' issues, we represent in campaigns. I suppose going back, we exist because of the CRPD, which is the Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities, which Ireland ratified in March 2018. I suppose, going back to basics, it's but there's two ways of looking at disability. There's the what's called the social model and the medical model. And the medical model is the traditional one. That's where you have people with disabilities. They have a disability, as if it's an illness type of a thing.
Yeah.
And so the system's like, they're the problem, really, you know. And then the system is there to sort of try to ameliorate. And it's very much a charity-based thing rather than rights-based. So, you know, you'll get it when we're good and ready, and, you know, you'll be grateful for it. And then also there's a certain amount of talking over people's heads. So the old disability phrase, does he take sugar? So people will ask on your behalf rather than asking the person themselves, do you take sugar, you know? So that's the medical model, and very much charity-based, sort of the old, you know, being kind to people, that sort of thing. Now, the social model is different, completely different, and it's come about since the 1980s. And the social model is, it doesn't talk about people with disabilities. It's disabled people. Because people aren't born with a disability. They're born with impairments. But they are disabled, literally, by society, by bad planning, by bad design.
Yeah.
And probably most of all, by prejudice, you know, by attitudes that people have. And they're not necessarily, some people are obviously repulsed by the idea of disability, but other people, it's just a genuine, they don't understand because they have a way of doing things. Let's say if you're a civil servant and this is the way you always send out your stuff, you know, by mail, by letter. You don't consider whether the person you're sending it to is blind or not. That's just the way you do it. It's the way it's always been done in the office. So you don't necessarily understand. But there are various things. But our thing is that disabled people, because they're literally disabled by society and planning and decisions and attitudes, they have to be treated as equal. And that they have rights. It's not about favours. It's about rights. So they have the rights to the same services as everybody else. They have the right to education the same way everybody else. They have the right to access their own environment the same way as everybody else. Now, I know this all sounds obvious, but actually it's very difficult now the way, for instance, the planning of Dublin City using cyclocentric, I mean, putting bikes first instead of vulnerable pedestrians first, completely goes against this, you know. Or, for instance, lack of announcements on the Dart. For instance, 50% of the carriages have no audible announcements at all. So that absolutely interferes. And so we're not looking for a favour for these voices to be put on. It's a right. So it's I have taken Irish Rail to the Equality Tribunal over this and did quite well. But it still haven't changed. But so it takes a lot of action.
Yeah.
A lot of times. So I had to go to the High Court for the right to vote, for instance.
I have to cut in there. The right to vote.
Yeah.
Sorry, people with a visual impairment weren't allowed to vote?
Well, no, they weren't. Now, what they could do is they could get somebody to vote for them.
Okay.
Well, now I don't know, John, if you'd be happy by ringing somebody up and saying, look, can you just go and vote for me? You know, this is how I want to vote. Sure, you know, I believe you. I'll take your word for it, you know. Or just even ringing up the polling station. So the polling officer, look, will you? That's the way it was. If a blind person was going into a polling station and they had what's called a trusted friend. Now, that could be somebody from the local big party coming along saying, you know, look, I'll take you for a pint afterwards. Come on, I will help you vote, you know.
Yeah.
There's no checks and balances whatsoever. And there's also differential power relationships, you know.
Yeah.
But you're going in there, you've absolutely no idea what way they voted on your behalf. It is not a vote.
Yeah.
And if it were, they wouldn't have bothered taking the case. But it clearly isn't a vote, and the judge recognised that.
This was as recent as 2017.
That's right, yeah.
That's crazy.
Now, the way the state presented the case was it was the right to vote independently, and they tried to make it sophisticated.
Yeah.
Nothing as arcane as that. It was the right to vote, full stop. If you don't know what way your vote has just been cast, you haven't voted. You don't know.
Yeah.
So maybe somebody didn't vote on your behalf at all. Maybe they left it blank. You've no idea what has happened. No, we didn't jump into court. We were contacting the department since 2010. They actually invited me to go to court in 2011. If you feel so strongly, take us to court. In an email, thankfully. People presume, oh, there's these experts there to make sure that disabled people get everything they need. I used to meet taxi drivers, for instance, that would say things like, oh, sure, isn't it great now these new Euros, they put Braille on them. You know, it's an urban myth. There's no Braille on the Euro.
Yeah.
On the Euro notes, you know. And look, there's this presumption, you know, that there's always somebody to look after the disabled. Or have you got nobody to mind you? If I want a hospital to send something out by email, which is much better for the environment than everything else, but they say, look, can you not get somebody to read it for you? So, like, the very basic. Now, this is top-down. This is endemic. This is everywhere. So this is what we're up against, you know. You see, also now, the CRPD that was talking about earlier on the convention, that has meant something absolutely amazing. Because for the first time ever, the state is obliged not to listen to charities, the big brand names. I won't mention them.
Yeah.
Everybody knows them because they've got millions to advertise and all the rest of it. But they can't represent people with disabilities, not legitimately. And the government, the state, and all levels is obliged to prioritise the voice of DPOs, that is, disabled persons organisations, that's run by disabled people, they're membered by disabled people, and basically they're not service providers, so there's no conflict of interest, is what the CRPD uses. So basically it'd be like, I suppose you wouldn't expect a refugee hostel to claim to represent the rights of refugees. You would not expect a hospital to represent the rights of patients. That's why we got the government set up patient advocacy in 2019. Or in the old days, you wouldn't have expected the nuns to represent the mothers in the mother and baby homes. Well, we have a shadow state of our own here in terms of service providers and charities of people, they would use the word people with disabilities. That's a disability industry. And whereas the social model would say, we need to get rid of disability. Not impairments, obviously, you can't do that. You can get rid of disability by getting rid of the causes of disability. Like people got rid of the crime and the causes of crime, or that was the old Tony Blair mantra. It could be argued that the charities aren't necessarily, it's not in their best interest to do that, because, for instance, an integrated service provision would mean that, you know, they wouldn't have any much of a reason to exist. The only other sector that you have charities representing or claiming to represent the service user is in the homeless industry. And, you know, so that's it's amazing that, you know, obviously it isn't in the interests of the providers of homeless shelters, etc. If homelessness was ended overnight, they wouldn't exist. Now, I'm sure they would all say, oh, no, we'd love homelessness to end, you know. But they are institutions. They do what institutions do. And they've got fairly wealthy as a result. Not individuals, the institutions have. I think there was a court case by Mannix Flynn last year that showed that one particular homeless charity had $15 million. But I'm not going into the homeless, but just into disability. It is a complete paradigm shift that now that the prioritisation is now on disabled people doing it for themselves, representing themselves. And despite charities, sometimes they will ask disabled people now to be on their boards, etc., and to have much more of a prominent role. But they're still service providers, so they may have a conflict of interest. So that's the massive shift, and it's incredible.
That's fantastic. I just want to go back a bit, Robbie. You were talking about voting and form filling. I talk to Citizen Information every week, and they usually make an announcement about if you want any help in filling out forms, we'll send it out to you, and you can talk to someone on the phone, or you can go online. You can fill out the forms online. How do people with visual impairment deal with that sort of stuff?
Well, very often they don't, and they can't. I mean, like, most people lose their sight later in life. I mean, 1 in 5 people over 75 are visually impaired, and half people over 90, for instance. And you can't necessarily presume that the supports are there. Some people are able to make a cup of coffee but can't use the internet. who are visually impaired. Some people can use the internet but can't make a cup of coffee. So the abilities and the resources and the supports, like some people have people helping them with stuff like giving them a lift and other people don't. So there's a massive difference. But yeah, in terms of form filling, it's impossible. And like the way we would recommend people to do it is that if I need to fill a form, what I recommend and other people do as well, which this suits me but it won't suit others, I'll send an email with the details on it, or else they will do it over the phone and send me the email, and I will respond by email saying, yes, everything is correct there.
Yeah.
That is my signature. It's an email signature. It's accessible. And it's easy. So things can be as simple, absolutely as simple, but just that the knowledge isn't there. And very often, even when bureaucracies know about this, they're still not inclined to go along with it, you know, because they're just used to doing things the way they always did it, you know. And if I ring up Citizen Advice, it's very probable that a person would have no answer or solution apart from, can you not get somebody to help you?
Yeah, yeah.
They're not trained. There's no advice. There's no infrastructure here. And the state has spent so much money in the past propping up the shadow state that is the disability industry in this country that there are very few disabled persons organisations like the DPOI out there. Like, we're in a DPO coalition. There are six national DPOs in the coalition. And like there's the Irish Deaf Society, National Platform for Self-Advocates, which is for people with intellectual disabilities, the Disabled Women Ireland, and As I Am for autistic people, and Independent Living Movement Ireland,
the
Centre for Independent Living. So some of them would have difficulties. Like if you want to talk to the IDS, you would need an interpreter, which they can't afford, and they're not funded well enough to be able to have interpreters, or somebody with an intellectual disability. It would be difficult for them to come on the show here and explain exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so there are difficulties there, but it is up to the state. This is what the CRPD says. The state has to make sure that this can be done. And it is a right. So if somebody's, similarly, if somebody's building a road and they say, look, there's a sort of a Fingal and Dublin City Council have a sort of a Twitter approach to consultation now with, look, we got 95% likes for this, you know. But the 99% even never has the right to take away the inviolable rights of the 1%. So whether that's somebody over 75 who wants to access their environment and not have to walk through something like pedestrianised areas, which everybody takes for granted, how can somebody with pulmonary fibrosis or OCPD or somebody with mobility difficulties, how is that accessible to pedestrian environments, pedestrianised areas accessible to them? So it's unquestioning what's happening.
Yeah.
No, they're just going for it. But now the alternative isn't to have congested roads. It doesn't have to be either or. But definitely, like we will be advocating for a city where public transport accesses all areas, including Grafton Street and Henry Street, and there are curbs. We think safety is much more important than aesthetics.
Yeah.
This is not a matter of opinion. This is just we have a right to access. It's a right. It all comes back to rights again. And it's not a tyranny. It's just the right to equality. I mean, would anybody say that vast swathes of Dublin City should not be accessible to X type of person because of race, because of age, because of disability, for any minority reason?
Yeah, I recently done an interview and we were talking about a local train station, DART station, and people had to ring up if they were in a wheelchair. They had to ring up and book, say, I want to be getting on this train. So there'd be somebody there to help them on with the wheelchair. And sometimes you'd go down and there'd be nobody there. And that was the only reason.
Oh, yeah, that regularly happens. See, but then again, you see, there's something called universal design where a system is based on you not needing any help.
Yeah.
So if the thing was built to be accessible from the beginning, somebody in a wheelchair should be able to access that without any assistance. You know, but it's not done like that because everything is based on the medical model. That person will need help. That's the way it's designed. Well, it was designed originally with no intention of wheelchairs using the thing at all. They're saying, now, if you're going to use it, you're going to need help. But really, ultimately, it comes down to a station design where wheelchair users do not need help, that nobody with disabilities needs help. And if they do, some people with impairments do need assistance, and that's where we advocate for proper provision of personal assistance.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, I'm lucky enough to be able to travel anywhere in the city. I'm relatively independent, but very often, I mean, I can find stations inaccessible, and it's just very bad design, and there's a way around that. And that's all at the concept stage, that in future, they now have to consult DPOs. Now, the penny isn't really dropping with the state yet. We will be making a disparaging report, shadow report, in the Convention on the Rights of People to the committee this year. But it really, it's like old habits die hard,
yeah.
And they like their friends, the traditional charities, a lot. But it's a human rights. This is as much civil rights as, I suppose, as in the Deep South in the 60s in the US, or in the North in the late 60s and further on. This is a similar civil rights approach, and it's very often invisible. And the mad thing is, it can happen to anybody, unfortunately. We wouldn't wish disability on anybody. Again, we want to eliminate disability, but people do acquire impairments as they get older.
We're running out of time, Robbie, but I just want to mention one thing to you. I was talking about recently, and we were talking about these new electric cars, and apparently they're very quiet, so somebody with a vision impairment is relying on being able to hear a car approaching. Is that a problem?
Yeah, but I think what's worse is that they've actually, now they have a restriction on them now, that they actually have to make a noise over 20 kilometres per hour. But that's not much help to us if we're crossing at a traffic light, because we're listening out for the revs of engines to tell us whether the car is going to go or not. And that's very useful, for instance, if the lights aren't properly working, if they're inaudible. A car will very often just stop regardless of the lights to let us cross, you know, which is great, you know, because it's all audio. So we hear the thing stopping and we know it's safe, you know. So, like, it's great. But cyclists and, I've been knocked down 4 times by cyclists on the pavement in the last 20 years on the pavement. So anything silent is not good. But again, this is ignorance in legislation, you know. I mean, any idea that the experts know what they're doing. The only experts in disability are disabled people and people with impairments, and they need to be consulted on everything. That currently is not happening, but we will fight to make sure that it does, because it's our rights now that we've ratified CRPD. And people can visit us at vvi.ie. And if they want to join us, just send info@vvi.ie. I'm going to say join the revolution, but the revolution is only for equality. So. But anyway, yeah.
Okay, listen, thanks very much for taking the call, Robbie, and I'm sure we'll be talking again. And, you know, stay in touch if there's anything you want to discuss.
Brilliant, that's great, John. Thank you very much, and good luck to all the listeners. Thank you.
Thank you, Robbie. Thank you.